Blog Talk Radio.
Once you make it up in your mind and in your heart that you want to accomplish something or you want to do something in life, and you dedicate yourself to that, and you won't let yourself accept anything but that, then that's where the drive comes from. That's where the determination and all the hard work, because I felt that I had an ability, a gift from God, and I wanted to exploit it, not for myself, but just to do it because I had it. It was something that was given to me, and it was given to me for a reason, and I just wanted to utilize it the best of my ability.
What I admired about Walter was his competitive spirit. Every time I saw him play, whether it was his first play or if it was the first run or it was his 30th run, it was always the same speed, the same effort, the same determination. I mean, it was a guy that was, he was just determined to be the best.
You know, I came from a, as people say, a small school that people will kind of scratch their heads about, say, well, they play pretty good football, but if they get into the professional ranks, they might not be able to hold what they're doing. So I had something to prove there. When I came in, I already had something to prove because people, you know, they have doubts in their mind. Then we showed that we could play with anybody. And after that, I had to prove something to myself. I wanted to be the best that I possibly can, not the best that a former Jim Brown was or a former Gil Sears or guys before me. I don't want to reach their level. I want to reach what my level is. If it's below that or beyond that, that's what I'm shooting for.
First of all, before 80% of the game this year, I watched Walter Payton film, and one thing I noticed for him is that no matter what, he kept his feet moving. He kept his feet moving. It would never stop, and I tried to incorporate that into my game, and it really helped me a whole lot. And he was just an overachiever. He was a small guy. Like I said, wasn't the fastest guy, but he made you work to tackle him.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think it's running. It's a feeling that you get when you're out there and you're making cuts, or you're making moves, or you're catching passes, or you're just out there. It's sort of like performing, like a ballet or something. The thing I love most about football, and it might seem that it's contradicting itself, simply because my job is to evade people to get the ball down the field, but I enjoy the contact. When somebody's coming up to hit you, if you, in turn, take the lick, the next time he comes in, he's going to say, well, I'm going to hit him a little bit harder, or I'm going to really draw back and get a shot at it. So what you do is you change that by, instead of being hit, you just meet the blow. You know, the law of physics tells you that an object standing still, another object coming, is the one that's standing still is going to take the brunt of the blow.
Right.
But if you guys meet, the one who goes the fastest or the one who's in better condition is going to inflict the most pain.
You know, I call Walter a second and third effort football player, running back, you know, because, you know, you hit him, if you don't wrap him up, well, he's going to break it. And he just had that desire to keep going all the time. And as Ricky said, it wasn't the fastest, wasn't the quickest, but, you know, if you didn't hit him, he can go.
When you see an open field, the first thing you see is, oh, my God, I hope I don't get caught. That's the first thing that comes in your mind.
When you do that little stutter step, is there a kind of posture in that? I mean, I never noticed it until maybe the last 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. There's almost kind of an attitude as much as it's a step. I don't know if you agree with that.
I don't think it's an attitude. I think it's a means of survival. In other words, as evolution goes, you learn to adapt certain things to make you survive. And I think that's one of the things I've acquired, simply because when I use that step,
see that step?
What it does for me, it breaks my timing, it breaks my rhythm down so that the opposing guy that's coming, he can't, in other words, when I'm running, he said, well, I'm going to zero him in on ground two. So I'm coming, and when I get to ground two, he's got his full head of steam going. But when I take that step, then he has to go, oh, my God, I got to recalculate. And see, it gives me that edge, because football is a game of angles and seconds. And if you can change the angles, then you got the edge.
When we played them, my rookie year, and, you know, hearing about Walter Payton, and, you know, I was, you know, and you were a rookie, you kind of got your own little arrogant thing going. So, I mean, I stood on the sidelines to watch him play. I stood up. I said, I'm going to stand and watch him because I want to see him really run the football. And I saw him knock out one of our defensive backs. They brought him to the sidelines, and he didn't know his name. I just thought that was the funniest thing that I had ever seen, because they were the same size.
My aggression, instead of going outward and striking back at somebody else, I don't do that. what I use. I use that to kindle a burning desire inside of me that I already have to fuel it. And it just gives me that that sense that I block out everything. My teammates and the people around me, where I'm playing, the weather, pain, and it's you and me.
Last February, when Walter announced his illness, friends and colleagues found it difficult to comprehend that a man that tough, a man who'd overcome so much, would actually succumb to a rare disease.
When I first heard of it, I was shocked because here I am. I'm like, well, I got this hip thing going, and he has something that makes my hip look like, oh, I just broke a nail. It's just hard to imagine talking about the Chicago Bears and not speaking of them and Walter in the same sentence.
First got here, we made a wager that who would be the first one to break down in tears, and I was the first one to say that I wouldn't, and I was the first one to say how strong I was and everything else. But as it goes to show that a lot of times when you're amongst your peers, such as these great athletes over here, you try to be something that you're not. And after hearing my son get up here and talk, I don't care if I lose the bet. Now, when you first get up here, first thing you do is you thank a lot of people for putting you here. Because as you, the previous inductees, and I'm sure Coach Walsh will say, we're not standing up here because of our own merit, because of something that we've done by ourselves. Football is a team game, and it takes everyone on that team to make a product such as these Hall of Famers that are sitting under this tent and the ones that are being inducted here today. And they'll be the first ones to say, and when they stood up here and they accepted being inducted here, they did it with a great deal of embarrassment because you were pointing all of the acclimates towards them. And they realized in their hearts that they were teammates that threw blocks, that caught passes, that talked to them when they were down. They were high school coaches such as Charles Boston that took me under his wing and helped me, taught me the fundamentals of football. And when I went to college, there was Robert Hill who took me there, and he showed me what hard work and determination would do if you put forth the effort and you take a little time. There was a guy that was supposed to be here today to co-introduce me with my son, Mr. Jim Finks, who was having a bout with lung cancer. And I want to let him know that our prayers are with him because he was the guy who gave him my start. He was the one who called me when I was at Jackson State University the day before the draft, and he asked me a question. He said, Walter, this is Jim Fink. He said, how would you like to play for the Chicago Bears? My answer to him was, Jim, I'll play for anybody. And that was the way I felt at that particular time. And I think if I would have answered that question any different, and the way I did, I would have probably been playing for somebody else, maybe even Pittsburgh. But blessings come and blessings go. But the thing that I'm most proud of and the thing that I'm most ashamed of, they coincide with each other. You saw my son up here a few minutes ago. And believe me, I had a lump in my throat that was so big, it's unbelievable. I also have a little daughter, Brittany Janae Payne. And I think about her also because their mom was with me for those 13 years that I played. Believe me, they were not good because I was not the easiest person to get along with. And because of my wanting to give to so many other people, sometimes you tend to neglect the people that you truly love the most. And I want to stand up here and say, at this point,
point in my life that Jared, Brittany, and your mom, you guys will never have to worry about anything in your life, no matter what the situation or how it ends. Such as Jim Brown and Gail Sayers motivated me to do more than I thought I possibly could do. You three will motivate me to make sure that your lives are happy and fulfilled. I'm happy to say that everyone that I've met in my life, I have gained something from them. Be it negative or positive, it has been enforced and reinforced my life in some aspects. When you speak of role models, when we talk to our kids, everybody is a role model. Everyone. Just as you look at a Michael Jordan to be the terrific athlete that he is, then you look at a Pete Rose to be the terrific athlete that he is, that then he falls on hard times. But when he played the game, I got something from the way he played the game because he hustled every play. And just because he has one mistake in his life, am I supposed to throw back everything that I gained from him? You can't do that. And I'm talking to the kids. Everybody that you meet, you can learn something from them. Everybody that comes in your life can influence your life as well, just as these people here have, just as you have, because the fans are what make this game. Without you being out here and coming to this Hall of Fame, it wouldn't be professional football. So I stand here and I applaud you for supporting and staying with the National Football League and these players here. Thank you.
What up, what up, what up? This is Pete Richardson, the owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully. And today, oh my God, what a great day, what a great day. It's ready to start the week off right. Another day above water is another day to achieve that goal. And on the line, I do got youth minister, Mr. Stephen Ivey. He's going to bless the show. But today is, oh my God, what is today? Today is the 28th? Somewhere like that. My days are all so messed up. I've been working so hard ever since Christmas has been over. But this is the Saving Athletes Respectfully. This is the Pete Richardson Morning Show, bringing you motivation, inspiration, and also education. I want to say what's up to Mr. Stephen Ivey. Mr. Ivey, you on the line, my man?
Yes, sir. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. It's kind of loud. It's kind of loud out there, man. Just trying to make sure I don't lose connection. Go ahead and tell the guests about your Christmas, my man.
Oh man, Christmas was good. Is it loud on my end? You're saying?
Yeah. There it is. That's better right there.
Okay, give me one second. All right. Yeah, man.
Christmas was
great on my end. Had a great time. I actually stayed at home, so I didn't go see my fam, but I spent some more time with friends and people that are close to me. So it was really good, man.
Okay. That's good. Same here. I didn't get to go see my family back in Oklahoma, but I did have a tremendous Christmas for my family that I've started here, down here in Lubbock, Texas. So, this brings me to my point. You've been working on music in a while, and I seen on your Facebook profile that you have a song that's on the Billboard Top 100. Go ahead and elaborate that on a little bit. I've been meaning to ask you last week, but I decided to go ahead and ask you today because I believe you need to go ahead and know, let the audience know, you know, you're working on music, you're trying to get your music out there and things like that. So go ahead and let the audience know about your song that you guys have on the Billboard Top 100.
Oh, yeah, definitely. August of 2013, my church, the church that I'm over the music department at, we recorded a live album, and I produced it, and it came out this October, and we released a single called Psalms 100, which I actually wrote and sung on, and we released that about October, the end of October, early part of November, and was able to just been pubbing it on the radio, man, and it's on the top, it's on Billboard's the top 100 spot. So if you want to know about the album, it's called The Sunday Morning Experience by the St. James Missionary Baptist Church Mass Choir. You can find it on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's on Amazon. If you wanted a physical copy, then you could go to our church website, stjbc.org, or probably the easiest way is just to hit me up on Facebook. My production page is Ivy League Productions, and so I could get a copy to you that way as well.
Oh man, that's what did y'all hear him out there? Go on, easiest way to hit him up is on his Facebook. So you go ahead and hit up Mr. Ivy, support my man as the album that he produces. Go ahead and move up the charts on the Billboard Top 100. Well, all right, Mr. Ivy, I'm gonna go ahead and give you the flow to go ahead and bless the show with your word real fast. It's on you, YOU.
All right. I got a personal story for you, Hall, and Pete, you tell me if I get some of the facts wrong, because it's been a while. But so here's my story. My whole point today is finish strong. Finish strong. Two words. Finish strong. My junior year. Well, let's rewind a little bit. My ninth grade year after football season and everything was over, I moved to Muskogee High. Actually, my 10th grade year. I don't remember. No, it was my ninth grade year. I moved to Muskogee High my 10th grade year, or the middle of my ninth grade year, and I'm playing football. That particular year, the team that I'm playing for, Muskogee High Ruffers, the year before had gone like 3-7 or something like that, 2-8. It was a really bad record. But the highlight of the school, and even the principal told me when I was coming in, they were getting a new coach. And this coach, Ron Lancaster, was like the football, high school football coach god. Whatever school he went to, he always ensured that they got to the playoffs, and even was responsible for setting up dynasties at certain schools. Anyway, I played under Coach Lancaster for 2 years, or really for a year. And me and Lancaster just never got along. Lancaster was always on me, we just never got along. I'll never forget, after the football season, my 10th grade year, I got into a fight at school and got suspended for 30 days. And so for those 30 days, I couldn't go to school, couldn't do anything. Those 30 days went up, I came back to school, came back to see coach, had to, you know, see if I was going to be able to play football again for him the next year, and he basically said yeah. So I'm out there in off-season. Off-season was tough. Off-season was hard. It was a break in my summer schedule, and I was like, man, I don't want to do this. So I ended up quitting. I felt like I was mad at Coach Lancaster. I felt like he didn't respect me as an athlete. And so on and so forth. Now this is what's gonna make sense. My 10th grade year, or my 11th grade year, I'm an 11th grader. Quit football, just going through the motions at school. Now, pause here to let you know I was a running back at that time, a running back and a linebacker. And I was at this point probably my junior year, my sophomore year, I would have been like third string, fourth string running back, because I was behind the great Pete Richardson and Trey Franklin. And then it was another guy my age that he and I were kind of neck and neck, Alex Foote. So fourth string. And Pete, correct me if I'm wrong. My junior year, I'm not playing football, and this is what happened. I remember, Pete, you went out that year, your senior year, with an ACL injury?
I broke my leg.
You broke your leg. And then what about, didn't Trey tear something too?
Yeah, Trey, Rail, it's crazy. Yeah, they both tore their ACLs.
Yeah. So my junior year, I quit football. I felt like I wasn't getting the opportunity. And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm just proving a point about finishing strong. Because I didn't finish strong, there came an opportunity where I would have been able to show my talents as an athlete, but I quit. Trey was down, Pete was down, Alex Foote was by default the starting running back for the rest of the season. Now, that's not even the kicker. This is the biggest regret that I have overall as a football player when it comes to Muskogee High. Fast forward, my senior year, I go to another school, Memorial, who wasn't that good. We finished okay, but we weren't at all that great. But I played football for Memorial. This particular week, Muskogee High played on a Thursday. They played Booker T. Washington on a Thursday night. And we had Muskogee High coming up like the next week. So me and a couple other guys went out to Booker T. to go scout Muskogee and look at them and watch them, see what they did. At the end of the game, I went up to Coach Lancaster, you know, just to say hi, what's up, how you doing, whatever. Lancaster looked at me, Pete, took two fingers, hit me on the top of my head. He said, you were always one of my best athletes, but you were just such a knucklehead.
Mm.
If there was nothing that stung me, it was those few words that he said to me. I left that stadium that night feeling like boo-boo because all of this time I had one of the greatest coaches in Oklahoma that was hard on me, who felt like I was a good athlete, but he was working with a knucklehead. And because I was such a knucklehead and didn't finish strong, I don't know what all opportunities I missed out on when it comes to athletics. Now, I'm not at all burnt up about it because God has blessed my life where it is now. But I'm saying all of that to say to whoever is in athletics and you feel like you're not getting your just due or your coach is hard on you, we all know you get older and you understand a coach only screams and fusses at the people that he feels like has potential. There's a lot of people on the team that coaches don't even bother with, that they don't talk to, that they don't say anything to. That's because the coach doesn't see potential in them. So my point to you, whether it's athletics, whether it's in life, we have 3 days left in this year, December 29th, and we have three days left counting today until we turn into a new year. Finish the year out strong. Whatever goals that you have, if it's a weight loss goal, finish the year strong. If it's you have to write out something, I don't know. But finish strong. It's my word to you. Hopefully that helps somebody out.
Oh, man, y'all heard it right there from the youth minister right up out of Arkansas, Stephen Ivey right there. He said, no matter what you're going through, finish strong. That was the sell on the line there, Mr. Ivey, because you actually made a great point about Coach Ron Lancaster. Yeah, you're exactly right. I think we went like 2-8. I think I started every game it was my sophomore year. And prior to that, I want to say I didn't start my freshman year, but I only played in like 2 or 3 games. But they didn't know my name. They used to call me the Galloping Ghost. Proceed to my sophomore year. My sophomore year, I started every game at corner. I was actually a kick returner. Our coach that year actually was called Monty Monroe, Coach Monroe. And our running back that year was actually one of my cousins, David Mitchell, and also a good friend of mine. His name was Cleandre Edwards. And those two guys right there was actually tremendous. David Mitchell, man, that's my cousin, my blood cousin. He's probably one of the greatest. He's probably one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life. It just so happened that we are blood. You know what I mean? And I really looked up to him and wanted to be just like him. But he had an issue that he always struggled with. And because he was so popular and so good at sports, everybody wanted a piece of him. So he ended up. I don't even know if he finished that year, my sophomore year, which was his junior year, but Cleandre didn't finish that year because he was kind of a knucklehead, just like Avi said he was. And Coach Monroe actually kicked him off the team. He didn't get to play in his last game, his senior year, so which that made me the starter. I was the starting running back the last game of the season, my sophomore year. We actually played against Tulsa Memorial that year, and that's when I really got a chance and I got a platform to really display my talent, and I actually scored a touchdown that game. Don't know how many yards, but I ended up making the news and everything like that. And just it goes into what Mr. Ali was saying, because I remember Coach Monroe pulling me aside after the game was telling me I'm going to be one of the top five running backs in the state. And just so you guys know, the type of people who I was going against, Reggie Smith, who actually ended up going to OU and got drafted, Felix Jones, who ended up going to Arkansas and they ended up got drafted. These are the type of caliber athletes that's around Oklahoma at that time. So Coach Monroe pulls me to the side telling me he's going to have me the top five running backs in the state my high school career. But then he ended up leaving. He ended up leaving, like, completely did us wrong at Muskogee High School. He did not display the character as a man. It was very cowardly how he did it. Instead of addressing the team head on and saying he was going to go to another school and proceed coaching, he actually had an athletic director to come in and speak to us, in which I kind of lost respect for him, which at the end of the story, it's all going to make sense. But instead of giving up, when this man told me that I'm going to be the top five running backs in the state, instead of me giving up and going to Wagner, where my dad's from, instead of going to Tulsa Union or Jinx, to where they were trying to get me and a couple more guys to come play for their team because they seen the talent in the Class 05 level because they knew we could take them to the next level. But instead of giving up in my sports world, because that was my only way out. At least I thought that was my only way out. If you come from where I come from, if you're not good in sports, then you're very unlikely to be successful because of the neighborhood and the type of people that you surround yourself around. Because like I said, my cousin David Mitchell was probably the best athlete that I've ever seen to this day, and I've seen Adrian Peterson. I've seen a lot of people. And if you guys was on the show as soon as you first got on, I played a segment of Walter Payton, and Walter Payton was probably the greatest running back that ever lived. That's the kind of talent that David Mitchell had, you know, my older cousin. But ultimately, I did not give up. We did get a coach who ended up and started dynasties at Jinx, came from Salisaw, and his name was Ron Lancaster, talking about BTD. It's called Back to Dominance, because that's what Muskogee used to embody, used to be. But Coach Lancaster came in and gave me an opportunity, and just like he would get on Ivy, he would get on me as well. I mean, the thing is, I didn't have that type of, well, I did have discipline, but I had nobody, I always did things right. Nobody never told me I did things wrong. But Coach Lancaster comes in telling me I did things wrong. No matter if I scored a 90-yard touchdown or anything, he always say, well, good run, good play, go run on kickoff. Because on Muskogee, you had to run. Our school wasn't big enough to go both ways. So Coach Lancaster, no matter what I've done, Coach Lancaster ended up telling me, you know, it basically wasn't good enough. And as a man, I'm just like, this is my way out. You know, why are you telling me I'm not good enough? But ultimately, I ended up being a starter. That year, I think I scored like 29 touchdowns, over 2,000 all-purpose yards. Man, I shook the conference up. Leading rusher in Class 6A. If you're in Texas, it's equivalent to 5A. So that's just to give you something. And also, who I actually beat rushing that year was Felix Jones, who ended up getting drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. So I actually had a pretty superb year. You know what I mean? But I ended up pulling my hamstring during baseball season that year. Then I got diagnosed with something called papilledema. I had symptoms of a brain tumor, but there was no tumor there. So it was like I couldn't work out that whole summer leading up to my senior year. By that time, I got offers from almost everywhere in the Big 12 besides OU. And fast forwarded my senior year, I get a concussion against Booker T, who Felix Jones played against. And then we played the next week. We played against a team called Houston Yates. I got over 200 some yards. But the theory of the story is coming into homecoming 2004-2005 season. Coming into homecoming, I'm about like 150 or something yards away from 1,000. And this is just in four games. I'm just about 150 some yards from 1,000 in four games, which is really unheard of. I'm on my way to a 2,000 yard mark. But anyways. Right after half, I remember my coach telling me, just let me remind you, I was diagnosed with this thing called papilledema. Symptoms of a brain tumor, but there was no tumor there. So which means whenever you're a running back, you got to catch passes. Then if you're a running back in high school, you got to be on kick return. You got to be on punt return. So which means I could not see straight if I was to look up. I could barely see in the dark, but if I had to look up and catch a pass, or catch a kickoff return, I couldn't see it. I couldn't catch it because I've seen like 3, 4, or 5 of them. And I bull kid you not. If you guys know anybody that had that disease that I had, well, I actually still have it, but I don't I don't train my body like I used to, so it don't really affect me as much. But I couldn't see the ball. But I remember Coach Hennessy, he actually just got the Coach of the Year down in Oklahoma in the Tulsa World. His name is Coach Hennessy. He was my coach. He was my assistant coach then. He told me to get in to go catch a ball, you know, because they kept push kicking it. And I'm like, Coach, you know I can't see. But he put me in anyway. They kicked me the ball. I missed it. And then he ended up saying, D1, you ain't even good enough to go JUCO. And I'm just like, dang, like that? You know what I mean? It's like, y'all know something wrong with me, even though I'm a go-getter, I'm a warrior. You know what I mean? I don't make excuses, but I think he thought I was making excuses. But then he told me that I ain't good enough to go JUCO, and it just so happened, 3 plays later, I break for a long run. We're killing the team. I think they were just wanting me to get to 1,000 yards, but we're killing the team. But then, like, after I broke that long run, the next play they gave me the ball, and boom, broke my leg. I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm out. I'm a little black kid who worked his butt off, 18 years old, got the world at my feet, got scholarships coming in there, had a steady girlfriend that I had for years, and I basically had it all when I was 18, and then, boom, broke my leg. And now I'm just like, now what? But the crazy part about it, remember that coach that I told you I was going to be on the first top 5 running backs my junior year, then he ended up leaving? And my phone rings. So I'm at home with my leg popped up, and thinking like, oh my gosh, I lost all my scholarships. I had not committed to one person yet. The game that I got hurt in, Oklahoma State was actually with me eating lunch with me and my girlfriend in the cafeteria. Like, that's big whenever you're an athlete coming up in high school. Oklahoma State actually was there with me and going around classes. While everybody else is eating pregame meal, I'm up in the coach's office with Oklahoma State setting up my visit, setting up my future, because I had offers, like I said, from just about everywhere besides Oklahoma University. So I'm in there. I'm like, I'm loving life, working hard, talking about hard work pays off and everything. Then, boom, homecoming, I break my leg, and now I'm just like, now what? Exactly. Now what? But I didn't give up. But let me tell you, I'm laying in bed with my leg propped up. My phone rings. My phone rings. I already knew who it was, and it was Coach Monroe, the one who left me cowardly, left the whole team, saying after he told me he was going to make me one of the top 5 running backs in the state. But now I was the top running back in the state, but he wasn't my coach. And now you want to listen? So now he ended up going coaching at a Division II school. And me, and this is how good I was, Division II schools weren't even talking to me because they knew I was going to go D1. As soon as I broke my leg, that's when they started calling. And the first person was to call me was like, yo. He was like, yo, what's up, Pete? This is Coach Monroe. I was like, I know who you are. And then he was like, I want you to let you know if A&M drop you, if Kansas drop you, Oklahoma State drop you, like you got a scholarship here at University of Texas, Oklahoma. I hung up the phone because I was like, man, I'm still going D1. But Texas A&M called me, was like, we still got you. You still got your scholarship, but you won't be a running back. We're going to go ahead and make you a corner and a specialty guy. I said, cool. But then in the back of my head, I was like, I wanted to play running back. So I ended up keeping my options open, ended up coming here to Texas Tech. And then once I got to Texas Tech, I ended up breaking my foot. And then once I broke my foot, my dad was like, once you go ahead and when they put that screw in your foot and your other leg, it's a plate and screws that they put in there whenever you broke your leg in high school. So I found myself in a wheelchair my freshman year here in Texas Tech, 18 years old, in a wheelchair, never been that far away from home in my life, and now my life is turned upside down. So what did I do? I just worked hard. I stayed positive. I wasn't the superb athlete that I used to be back in high school. I kind of lost some steps just to be completely honest, but I met tremendous people. And I've learned that you end up being what you were meant to be by going down a road that you were trying not to take. So what I'm trying to say is, just like Stephen Harvey say, don't give up. Finish strong. The road that you are trying to avoid is going to end. The road that you're trying to avoid to go down, you're going to eventually still get into that destination. By trying to avoid what you were trying to do. So whatever it is that what I want to tell you is, don't give up. Don't run from something because you're afraid of not being nothing. Sometimes it's like the Lord works in mysterious ways.
sometimes you might not want to go down that road, but sometimes it's meant for you to go down that road. Just like I said, man, Tech Van Imp kept it real with me. It was like, once, now that you've broken your leg, you're going to be a specialty guy and you're going to be a corner, which in all actuality, Coach Lancaster told me I was a better corner than I was running back. But when you're young, 17, 18-year-olds, you want to be the man. You want to be the star. I wasn't looking for the future. I was looking for right now. I wanted to be like, man, if I'm a corner, there's no way I'm going to go to the NFL because nobody's going to see me. I wanted to be a running back because a running back got the ball every play. And if it just so happened was I really didn't fit in that system here at Texas Tech. Like, that's the honest God truth. I didn't really fit in this system. I really was fit for that Texas A&M system, but they wanted to move me to corner because it was the longevity of it, because I really was fast. I was clocked at a 4.32 back then. And, you know, and they seen it. But me, and I really didn't have that guidance to really look towards my future. And so I went with Texas Tech because I thought the grass was greener, but the grass ain't always green on the other side, baby. It's only greener where you water. So you always don't listen to nobody else. Do what you want to do, no matter what you've done or what you've been through. Life's about making your dreams come true. So at the end of the day, you sit down and pray and talk to the Lord. Please direct my steps. Because I'm going to move in the way that you really want me to move. Because like I say, if you really try to avoid the road that, if you really try to avoid something, you really going to end up doing it anyway. Because I didn't want to play corner. The next year, I ended up breaking my foot. Boom, they moved me to corner. Now I'm just like, dang, if I just would have went to A&M or went to corner, I probably would be in the NFL. But if I would have went to the NFL, who knows if God would have blessed me with this tremendous business that I turned that I turned from a school assignment to a business, and now it's a radio show. Who knows? I don't know. You know what I mean? So I met tremendous people here at Texas Tech. I didn't get a lot of game time, but I got a lot of me time. I got a lot of time to get from people, just like Walter Payton said on my sketch. Everybody you meet is a role model. Everybody's a role model. Everybody you meet can add to you, no matter what. It was that no one got to where they are by themselves. And one of my strength coaches told me, because I was having a campaign here in Lubbock 2 years ago, I remember going across with this little league team, and I was just like, man, they used to be me out there being on that little league team, and now I'm helping campaign. What? Like, that doesn't happen where I'm from. And I remember going across, his name is Warden. His name is Aaron Warden, strength conditioning coach here in Texas Tech. He was like, he just knew something. Everyone knew there was just something about me that just kept everybody on me. Just like Mr. Ivy said, whenever he was talking about Coach Lancaster always being on him, he didn't really understand. But the only time you need to be worried is whenever your coach is not getting on you. Just like you need to be worried in the classroom whenever your teacher is not on you. You need to be worried when the police stop really giving a care about the crime here in America. So we need to be thankful whenever people is just getting on to us and acting like they care, because that means that they do. Whenever you, just like a girl, if you make a girl mad, you know exactly when a girl is mad, because she could be on you. And you fellas, we know. Come on now. We all done made a girl mad. We all done got all up on the wing, and I'm not talking about our mama. We all done made a girl mad, and we done made her mad to the point we know when she's really mad, when she goes, okay. Yeah, that's when you know she mad, and that's when you know you need to go ahead and get on defense mode and do what you got to do to get her not to be that mad at you anymore. It's just like in the coach, it's just like in life, it's just like with the police and everything going around right now. You know, all these police, everybody talking about police brutality and everything. Yes, just no matter who you, if you're trying to build a corporation, you're trying to build a democracy, you're trying to build a nation, there, for every 100 people you make happy, there's going to be that 10% that you're going to make unhappy. But you got to stop catering to that little 10% and majority rules, baby. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? It's a cold world out here, just like my man J. Cole always say. It's a cold world out here. So no matter what, you stay positive. No matter what you've done and what you've been through, that's about making your dreams come true. So if you got anything from this interview today from me and Mr. Stephen Alvey, just like he said, you got 3 days that's left, 3 days that's left, 3 days that's left, and the rest of this year, 2014, to finish strong. Finish strong.
finish strong. You got this. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. So if somebody's catering to you in a negative way, taking away from you, makes you always want to change your moves, makes you want to just say, here you go. Man, then tell him you got 3 days to get right, or in the 15 or in 2015, you ain't going to be a part of my life no more. You got to keep it moving. You got to kick rocks. Because no matter what, everybody adds to you. Somebody is either they're adding to you in a way that you know you can take their advice and keep going and soar, or you know not to take their advice and move them out the way. Because that's the start. Once you start weaving out the people, once you start keeping your grass cut, when I say keep your grass cut, keeping your circle small, you're able to weave out the snakes. Because when that grass is cut, them snakes ain't got no choice but to wiggle, because that's how they move. But understand, whenever you start to move towards your goal, that's when you start to be successful. But when you start to be successful, that's when all the other girls start wanting to come in. When you start, just like when you get in a relationship, nobody can hit you up. But then when somebody finds out you're in a relationship, then that's whenever they want to come out. Because you got to be careful, because women and men are like this too. Because you got this younger generation nowadays who acting like, I want to take your girl, I want to take your lady. Because they just took the whole meaning and the whole attribute out of relationships. Now a boyfriend and girlfriend almost don't really have no meaning, because you got these little young cats coming up that's trying to take people girl, but sometimes that girl is letting them into the life. So it's like, come on now, growing up as a young man is hard, and then growing up as a young black man is really hard. So we got to work twice as hard just to be okay, just to fit in. But now we've kind of hit that stigma is, so now you got these strong black men growing up playing sports, just like Mr. Ivy, growing up, getting in the world, getting in the community, providing for the community, actually being the community, being a role model and an influence to the community. Now we're able to get there, and now we got to start to change individually as I may stay positive and keep doing and keep going. Just like I always say, no matter what you've done, what you've been through, life's making your dreams come true. If I would have stopped whenever Coach Monroe told me, whenever he left Muskogee Howard junior year, I don't know if I'd be here today. If I would have stopped whenever I got that disease in my brain, I don't know if I'd be here today. If I would have stopped whenever I broke my leg, I don't know if I'd be here today. If I would have stopped whenever I broke my foot in my freshman year here at Tech, I don't know if I'd be here today. And I didn't even tell you guys I was about to become a starter here at Texas Tech my sophomore year, well, my junior year here back in 2007. But then my grandpa died, then I got diagnosed with papilledema again. So if I would have quit, I don't know if I'd be here today. But I know I stayed strong and I stayed in school, took an internship at Disney World, came back to Lubbock, Texas, turned a school assignment into a business, and now it's a radio show, and now I hear him today. And I tell you one thing, it's really been a long road, it's really been hard, but I guarantee you, if you want it enough, you'll find a way. If you don't, you'll find an excuse. With that being said, I could go on all day, but I ain't going to waste no more of your time. I hope you guys really benefited from this, but I can't let you go by letting you listen to I Came to Win. Yeah, that's right, by Nicki Minaj and my wife, Rihanna. Oh, my fiance, Sabrina Hewlett. Don't get mad at me for saying that about Rihanna. So please, don't get mad at me, boo-boo. We get mad in a couple months. Well, all right, it's really been my pleasure. Pete Richardson, coming to you live on Blog Talk Network on the Pete Richardson Morning Show. So hope to see you guys tomorrow. And Mr. Aubrey, I'm interviewing a good friend of mine. He's a DJ for Mix 100, one of the best stations here in Lubbock, Texas, probably one of the best stations in the U.S. He's going to be on my show. He's calling in, and we're going to talk about what it takes to be a DJ. His name is Caden off of Mix 100. And you can actually go download their app. If you want to know what I'm talking about, you go download their app off your smartphone. Go to just type in Mix 100. I believe he's on the air every day from 4 to 8 at night. I believe so. But tomorrow you'll know for sure. That's who's going to be on my show tomorrow telling you how to soar. So make sure you tune in tomorrow at 11 o'clock. But until then, go ahead and I came to win. Don't talk about my season. P. Richardson coming to you live, bringing you education, motivation, and inspiration on the P. Richardson Morning Show. Talk to you tomorrow. But until then, I'm teaching you how to soar with Nicki Minaj and Rihanna.
Please. I came to win, to fight, conquer, to drive, okay, to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise, to love.
brain, but I think I'm still an angel away. Angel away, yeah, strange in a way. Maybe that is why I chase strangers away. They got they out aiming at me, but I become Neo when they aiming at me. Me against them, me against enemies, me against friends. Somehow they both seem to become one. A sea full of sharks and they all smell blood. They start coming and I start rising. Must be surprising, I'm just surmising. I win, vibe, soar, higher, 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 more, fire.
Prosper.